This podcast is brought to you by Refix, a natural and organic isotonic drink containing 78 sea minerals. It's available on Amazon UK now, and it's heading to the shelves of all major health food retailers and pharmacies soon. Oh, that is nice.
It is nice. It's really good, though, because when I was talking to the guys at Refix, it kind of marries very well with our brand, because not only is it replacing like your normal kind of sugary isotonic drinks with something that's all natural after training, but also for like things like hangovers.
Important, like, for our clients.
Yeah, super important for our clients.
Because a lot of them are hungover.
They love drinking and training.
The flavours are good. That one we've just had now, what is it?
That one's orange and they've got lemon. And then they're bringing out Extreme Hydration, which is mixed with coconut water as well as seawater, because they get the minerals that would normally be added in to a...
Floating around in the sea.
Exactly. They just pull it out of the sea. 78 of them.
It's filtered very, very well.
And it's the Spanish sea as well. So...
The cleanest.
Special. Special sea. And also they do things to help the planet. They do regular beach cleans, they help tidy up our oceans. It's just a great drink and great people, so we're happy to be partnering with them for this podcast.
Our lovely listeners can buy Refix with a little discount, can't they, George?
They can. It is BTL15, and you type that into the discount code on the Refix website and you get 15% off.
That is BTL15.
Refix, seawater, sea hydration. Extra slurps. Is that
Sorry,
you drink all the time?
Super slurpy. Hey guys, before we get into this episode of Before Lights podcast, here at Before the Lights, we are super supportive of all our friends who are actors and their strike with the Screen Actors Guild. Therefore, we've held on to some of these episodes until the strikes are finished. So some of the stuff they say might be dated or it might have already come out, but we're super grateful for the time they've given us and it's still super interesting chat. So yeah, have a listen and enjoy.
Hey, I'm Dave Hasty.
I'm George Ashwell.
I'm Josh Betteridge.
And I'm Georgia Canavan. And we are Before the Lights.
We work with actors and teams behind the scenes in film, TV and sport to keep their mental and physical health ticking over on and off screen.
On this podcast, we talk to some of them about how they get the most out of their mind and body and everything in between.
Welcome back to the Before the Lights podcast.
Welcome back.
This time we have, for the very first time, a returning guest.
He's back.
He's back.
He's back. The man, the myth, the legend. The guy who tried to burn the podcast down the first time he came in, Jacob Anderson.
Yeah, the first one where he basically admitted he hates the gym, doesn't like going to the gym, doesn't want to be in the gym, and didn't really want to answer any of our questions.
refused to answer questions. But this time...
He's changed.
He's changed, and he's going to apologise to us. You'll hear that in a minute. He's back after season one of Interview the Vampire has come out. And he's about to go back for the second series. So we talk about how his life has changed since and his viewpoint towards exercise has changed.
Really interesting just seeing someone that was so uninterested in exercise and fitness and now how it's actually become part of his routine. And he talks a bit about how that change happened for him, which I think a lot of people probably relate to.
And if you haven't listened to Jacob's first episode, go do that first because it's like night and day.
If you
so
haven't
different.
By this point listened to previous episodes,
get start from the beginning.
Start from the start. And where have you been? Enjoy.
I'm very upset.
You look quite happy though.
I'm very unamused.
Look like a man that's just having a good time eating chips.
Back on the diet game. Well, we know.
Nine chicken nuggets because my daughter was like,
wouldn't eat any of them.
She was busy licking the fucking seat. We asked her like, "What are you doing?" She went, "I'm Lick Max." So now. Her alter ego is Lick Max.
She did.
Like Lick Max, like maximum.
To the max, yeah.
To the max.
Lick Max.
So good.
She, maximum licks.
She'd just come out of watching Puss in Boots and she was very excited, although she found a little bit of it scary. I think Jacob found more of it scary.
Yeah. And the film was about death.
and then her spoon that she had for eating her rice in Leon was her sword.
She started off with a fork. And the reason I took it off her, well, I should have taken it off her earlier probably, but the reason I took it off her is because I saw the prongs of the fork hit her eyelid. Like, there's certain things that you just never want to see happen to your child. And, like, that's one of them.
Fork
the other thing,
the
a fork in the eye. And then we're in a zoo in New Orleans. There are these, like, lions. They're very sociable lions. And she basically got really close to the glass and was looking at us. And we saw this, like... this lioness basically like pouncing and just like staring at her, and it just jumped up and put it like opened its mouth wide like over her head and like started like batting at her. So we saw what it would look like for a lion to attack our daughter. What a way to start.
We'll welcome you back officially to the podcast now.
I'm here on an apology tour.
I wrote you down as the man that hates exercise, Jacob Anderson.
It turns out exercise is good physically and mentally.
That sound, you said that as if we're like pointing a gun at you.
Yeah. Say this.
I really enjoy it, and I especially enjoy training with you, George, and Dave, and Josh, and other George.
Good.
Well, thanks for the glowing reference and the glowing review.
Yeah, you've done, yeah.
You are welcome.
Last time you came in, you were about to go to New Orleans.
Yeah.
You're back, and now you like exercise?
We were talking about my back, because that was bad too.
Your back is now straight.
You had a bad back.
Ish. I have a straightish back. I'm back.
If you haven't listened to like Jacob's first episode...
Stop now.
Yes, and you have to go back and listen to
the episode in series one, because none of it's going to
make
sense.
Because we're going to be referencing like balls covered in sheets and ghosts, and I'm sure Jimmy can add in the point where you called yourself a ball.
If I'm writing something, I basically... like I turn into a ball. Like I realize at the end of it, I hunch over so much.
Yeah.
That I'm like, oh wait, I'm completely circular now. I'm completely spherical. And then I'm like, oh, I should probably do some exercise. And then I don't. And then, but it makes sense.
I saw Jacob through the window at the gym today. He looked like on the Instagram feed where you see like the really strong, healthy looking man. Doing exercises, doing them fast.
Yeah. Ish. I'm still working on that. Sometimes when George says, like, okay, you do this with your arm and then this with your other leg, I get very like preoccupied with which leg and which arm is where. All of the circuits that I do at home are just like bastardizations of things that you guys have given me to do. I'm like, they're variations.
Jacobized.
Now, we like think it's like we've inspired you.
You used to hate exercise. You still hate exercise, but you know it's good for you, so it changes.
Would you say that's true? You still hate it?
No, I don't still hate it. I think I find motivation is like my biggest enemy. I still have to think of it as a thing that I need to motivate myself to do. But I have learned in the last couple of years that like you don't need to motivate yourself, you just need to start it, and then it carries on.
That is the motivation.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like running.
Running especially.
Like I love running. I always used to bargain with myself. I could be like, okay, if I don't make it to this thing, if I don't sprint from this point to home, then I'm going to really embarrass myself on set. Or like something bad's going to happen to me. Like it got really...
This doesn't sound healthy.
No, it wasn't healthy at all. Okay, it was, I think it's like some OCD stuff and like bargaining things that I think I apply to other things. But I found that since I've started doing it again now, I'm like, if I do like a kind of slow, steady run, I feel like I finish and I'm not like destroyed, but I feel like I've let off some of my mental energy. And then I can work, like I can, especially with writing, like the motivation for the day is all done.
It's like if you did anything at 100 miles an hour all the time, it's great for a bit and then you'll just hit a wall. You probably recognized it within your body as well without really noticing it, like you said there.
Yeah.
You know if you do the slower ones, you feel better, you could get your work done.
Yeah.
People pay good money to be told that.
But you feel it.
Let's go into business.
You're just giving it away for free.
You did. When you came on last time, you were about to go to New Orleans for Interview with a Vampire. And at that point, you're just saying you worked really hard physically in terms of changing your body to how you saw, like how you wanted the character to look and move and everything. Did you manage to keep up the exercise? Did it play a role whilst you're out there? Because you were there for quite a while, weren't you?
Yeah, I was there for 5 or 6 months.
The filming is obviously intense when you go to do those kind of shows, especially when you're like the lead in it, you're there all the time.
Yeah.
Did you try and factor in exercise, or did you treat it as like, right, I've prepared myself, I'm going to work really hard for this period of time and then I'll pick it up again later. Work becomes
the exercise.
Yeah.
It was kind of a mix of both. I think because the whole show is nights, I think I did like just under 100 nights.
I did think that because it's like everything is...
Jacob
requested it. He's super method. He didn't want to see daylight for the whole time he was there.
I can assure you I did not. Although, that would be very consistent with old Jacob.
Old Jacob, yeah. Well, I visited Jacob while he was in New Orleans, and he was on nights then, and there was, this wild exchange of, like, energy where he'd spend 5 days straight at night, living nightlife, and then try and spend 2 days in the weekend reversed to see his daughter.
It's like being a night shift
person.
And
then had to then somehow jump straight back into nights again. And
but a lot of the time we do like afternoons on Monday. So it'd be like, you'd finish work on Saturday morning, and that would vary from like, sometimes you'd finish at 5 a.m. Sometimes we finished at like 9 a.m. sometimes. So I tend to like learn my lines for the whole week. I mean, on this actually, I learned them before we started shooting. I learned most of the lines and then I kind of read them up. The language in our show is so dense and so like specific.
Also quite alien to your normal vocabulary.
It's not how
for people that don't know, can you explain that a bit? Because it was a film obviously that a lot of people know, but like the kind of story, when's it's like, it's set over such a massive period of time, isn't it?
It's basically my character Louis de Pointe-du-Lac is the vampire who is being interviewed. He's in present day Dubai, and you get the sense he's kind of hiding out, and this journalist who interviewed him 50 years ago, he invites him over to like tell his life story. And then we flash back to 1910s New Orleans, and he's basically telling the story of how he became a vampire and what that was for him.
Did you learn all those lines before you went? Because of the accent, or because you knew you wouldn't have any time? Because the accent's tough.
I love the accent.
It's so good.
The year was 1910. My business was desire. Let me introduce you to Mr. Lestat de Liancourt. It's New Orleans. Days are for sleeping off the previous evening's damage.
So I love it. To you talking that voice.
It's so good.
it was less about the accent and more about, it's just a lot of words.
Yeah.
Because my character he's essentially narrating the whole show. There's not really any point where my character's not really talking, apart from there's one point in the middle of the season where you get a different character's perspective, and it's like her diaries. But yeah, I just felt like I didn't want to be on the back foot. Mm. I'd get up in the morning, I would sit and do like 2 hours on lines, and then I'd eat some food, I'd watch a film, I'd do whatever, and then I'd go back to lines, do some more lines, and then read some more lines, learn some more lines, and then do tap for like two hours.
It was like tap dancing vampire boot camp.
Yeah, there was no real way to structure it, but it made it really difficult to
exercise.
Does
that work with being a dad?
It doesn't.
Because like ultimately, the kids don't care. They're like, I'm up. I want to do something.
Where's dad?
Well, no, my wife got up with our daughter.
Because like, you had to have the sleep, otherwise you'd have been absolutely fucked.
Yeah, and I was. Like, I think it didn't really click until I came home that I was like, oh, my whole sense of like what a day is completely fucked up. Like, it's not,
it's
not normal. Yeah, exactly. But I'd like settled into a constant state of jet lag.
Yeah.
The way that I parented when I could was basically just you keep that same energy. So you like, I'd get in at like 5 or 6 a.m. My daughter would be up by then. And I'd just spend like sometimes 20 minutes, sometimes 45 minutes, sometimes an hour and a half. I'd just sit with her and watch cartoons or like read her a book or hang out with her. And just kind of, it's almost like you add that as an extension of
work, of
your
but
day.
It doesn't work, but yeah.
I really wanted to make sure that I saw her every day.
Yeah.
And that was a big sacrifice for my wife. Like, she came to New Orleans. They lived in New Orleans for that time. But yeah, it meant that I could see her every day, and she could see me, rather than at the very beginning, we were away from each other for 5 weeks. And that was pretty intense.
Yeah, I bet that makes the doing all the nights and all that stuff even harder, I suppose, when you know that you can't see your family.
Yeah, it does. But then it's like during the day, you sleep because your body is just like, no, that's enough now. You need to go to bed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's sort of the point normally where I would go up to bed. I was just like, and you draw the curtains, eye mask
just like
on,
a vampire.
Calm music, exactly.
Get into your coffin. Levitate into your coffin and have a nice little snooze.
But to answer what you actually asked me about exercise, it's really hard to figure out when I could do it. I ended up doing quite a lot of exercise in my trailer, and it was literally just I'd do like chair dips and then I'd do some like core. But I did like I'd do like a big circuit like every couple of weeks, basically.
Yeah. And the rest is like little bits here and there.
Exactly.
But that's perfect. It's like everyone's kind of having that fear of being like, oh, it's not enough, so what's the point or whatever. But just doing a little bit, because your body has learnt it. It's like you're saying, you learnt all your lines before you went out there. And then on a Sunday or the day before whatever the shoot was, you just kind of recap
stuff.
Top
it up, yeah.
And it's still in there. It's the same with like physically, your ability to work at a certain threshold, for your heart rate to be elevated, your strength levels, all that stuff isn't just going to disappear. Like, it's still there. And as long as you're saying to it, oh, I need this stuff still, it's still going to maintain itself. And then when you go to do those big circuits every however many days it was, you probably felt like not that far away from where you were.
It's literally that analogy. Like, if they suddenly wrote you three new pages, is the same as you suddenly had a big gap of time out and you wanted to do a big session. But if you're only topping up the lines that you had, that you'd already learned,
then
you're just skimming it.
You hit a dip in the day where you're tired, and I found that exercise sort of like pep me up a bit, woke me up.
Yeah, instead of a coffee, you can just get your blood boiling.
Yeah.
Squeezing something in and then you just feel a bit more energized and you feel a bit better.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird how it does that. I didn't know that about exercise. I don't know why you guys didn't tell me.
I'm always quite intrigued by like the process of learning an accent, because your voice is essentially a muscle, really. Like the use of it to create different sounds, you have a coach for that, don't you? Like, you would have come to us for the physical side of it, you'd have a dialect coach.
Yeah.
Are there any similarities in the sense of like the way it's taught? Are there like you learn a certain thing before you do the next bit, like you'd learn
Dave wants reps and sets.
Yeah. What are the reps? What are the sets?
I didn't really work with anyone on this.
Really?
Yeah. There was a dialect coach that worked on the show, but we didn't do a lot together. I had quite specific references of like things that I thought were interesting. I listened to people a lot when I first got to New Orleans as well. People in shops and like walking down the street, sitting in the park. Even though it was going to be like 1910, I wanted it to feel familiar to people that were living there now. Like, I wanted people in New Orleans to be like, that's
the sound.
It's a specific sound.
Better that way around than someone going, that's not what it sounded like in 1910, because they're not going to know.
Yeah,
so you might as well go, let's
really
give them.
Knows.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it was like, because my character's Creole, there is like a Creole accent, which sometimes people confuse it with like the Cajun accent, and they're different things. And there were some French Creole people, or a lot of French Creole people, who spoke with this kind of French tinged Southern accent. And we talked about doing that, and I started doing it, and I was like, I think it's going to seem like I'm really bad at doing this accent. If I do this, I think I want to commit to this other thing. And I'm glad I did. Another reason why I had to be really prepared for this is because 10 years for a vampire is like the equivalent of 2 years or a year. Mm-hmm. Like, it's everything is kind of slowed down because they're immortal. You have to play the same character at like completely different points in his life.
In history. No,
yeah, through history, and also through like, he goes through a lot, and he's like a reluctant vampire. He kind of hates what he has to do to survive. He's
I feel like if you were morally, actually yourself a vampire, you'd be a bit of a reluctant vampire.
Yeah, you would be a bit
of a you're too
vampire.
Nice.
I'm not that dissimilar to Louis. I think I'm a bit of a nerd about things. I love detail. Like, I love like putting little details. Like, you kind of have something really broad and you go like, okay, he's from New Orleans, I'm going to go more modern, but I need to make sure that there's like some period attitude to it, like something specific. And I looked at lots of pictures, like, how did men stand at that time? How did they carry themselves? You just work your way in to like the specifics, and then you make decisions on the day.
Do you
like
then start to try and apply those behaviors to your normal life? Like if you're the way you walk, the way you stand, the way you move, are they things you just do in character, or are they things that you do when you're just sort of going about your day?
I quite like to give... I can't believe I'm saying this because I always hate it when actors say this. But I think I did try and give myself things like characteristics. I tried to give him things that were specific to him that weren't mine.
Yeah.
Like there are a lot of similarities between us. He's very depressive and he deals with like depression and anxiety, but like forever.
Uh-huh.
And like a lot of guilt and stuff. And that is reflected in his body language. And that stuff is probably more consistent with me. But then like in when you first meet him, he's a confident, like he would appear to be a really confident man from the outside, but he's actually like being eaten up inside.
Yeah,
so it's
yeah.
like you want to show the confidence, but then like you know in your head that he's actually got some real like deep self-esteem issues. So like you put little clues in there. So like it is, you kind of train your body to move like that character.
Yeah.
But again, back to the work that we did before.
Way to bring it back.
I went
Jacob,
out.
Thank you. Yeah.
Is it like it is? I learned the value of like muscle memory, like literal muscle yeah. memory, like body memory. Another reason why I had to be really prepared for this is because 10 years for a vampire is like the equivalent of 2 years or a year. Mm-hmm. Like it's everything is kind of slowed down because they're immortal. Like I've felt my own body more in the last like couple years than I ever have in my life. Like mm-hmm. I can actually feel everything. I can feel my hands and my legs and my arms and my whatever the different muscles.
It's literally
muscles
awareness.
Are
it's feeling. Yeah.
I remember you talking about
when you
the
do
first...
that, you can use that stuff. Yeah. You can use that in
like
in
shoulders
acting.
Back. You can actually go, oh, I know what that means.
Yeah,
like, chest and up, shoulders back.
Like, it also means you can posture. Jump. Like you know, doing those doing
you can
like the different eras and decades.
Yeah.
You can flip really easily because you feel it. Like even
like,
now, I'm just
you have little
like
cues. Like you're like, okay, the tens, I do shoulders down, head down. In the modern one, I go, okay, this, and is there like a? I'm thinking about golf. Like it's like a thought. It's a thought before you hit the ball. First thing, and you try not to like overthink it. It's like my first thing to be in this character is boom this.
Yeah.
Is there like different ones for the different?
I think there were, but I never like wrote them down or anything. Right. I think I just like, you know where you are and you just get like a sense of it. It's so weird talking like genuinely about
something you've
like,
just been in your head
you
the whole time.
Yeah. Like.
Now you're back and in the gym regularly. What is it that you're aiming for at the moment? Are you just exercising for because you enjoy it now because you want to do it? Or are we working towards there's more... A specific focus on a job.
I'm about to go back for the second season of Interview with the Vampire, but also we started working again in like
it was
October.
It was because me and Jacob wanted to hang out, and that was how I persuaded him to come back to the gym. It's like, all right, if you come in and train for an hour, then we can go eat some Nando's, and then we can catch up. And then it became like, yeah, let's just do that every week.
Yeah,
and then it became now about Jacob getting his training in.
Do you know what else I really liked as well? Was the chat that you guys had with Ben Walker.
Mm. Yeah.
And he was saying about like between jobs, like it's really good to like that thing of getting back in your body.
That stuff
like,
we've told you for years.
Shut up.
This is where I start to sound kind of like one of those actors who's going to talk about his process. But I think it really is true. Like if you imagine if you're a musician, you know, and you play a bunch of different instruments. You know what a piano sounds like if it's in tune, out of tune, if it's got thumbtacks on the hammers, if you're a trumpet player, you know what your instrument sounds like. If you have a different mouthpiece or you take the varnish off, you know, it's all part of what you play. And as an actor, it's you, you know, so if you can't, like to be aware of your body and how it looks and what it can do. And I think that really makes it does for me. It makes a big difference.
Yeah, yeah. I've always thought that.
But it doesn't always have to be for a thing. It's like you prepare your body so you can prepare your mind and you feel, like I feel confident now. Like I walk differently to how I walked before.
Uh-huh.
And that's really nice. It's a really nice feeling. It means I speak differently and I like can navigate the world a bit easier than I could before. And it's not because I want to show off. It's just because I actually feel better.
Yeah.
And it's mad how quickly I notice it when I don't do anything. Like I'm like, oh man, I'm starting to get back into my head a little bit too much.
Well, that is kind of the curse of like having a good routine of training, is that you become hyper aware of when you're not doing it and how it affects you. Whereas if you live that life of never getting in that,
you never come out of the box, do you?
Yeah, yeah. Like you might be kind of mildly depressed the whole time, but because it's normal, when you then sort of get it again, you're like, oh fuck, this is horrible. But actually it just shows you that
it's good that exercise can help people recognize that. It's not one of the main reasons people would train, typically, I'd say. It's quite a nice way of looking at, like, another reason to just do some exercise or go for a walk or whatever it is.
We also, like, I always associated any kind of, like, sport or, like, exercise or whatever with, like, a certain aesthetic. Like, I was always like, this feels very, like, toxic masculinity adjacent. Like, and I think I always think about, like, the kind of bodybuilding aesthetic and like what that is. And that's something that I think I've always rejected. Like even since I was, when I was a kid, like I've never found that aspirational, but actually there's is a whole spectrum. Cause those, like those people as well, like I know people that are like, it's valid and it is, it's doing something for them. I've been watching that documentary about tennis. Have you been watching that?
Breakpoint.
Yeah.
So good.
And it's like, seeing how mental that is, like how much of, tennis is mental. But then also you look at the bodies and like the men are really lean and kind of like, you know, it's not this sort of thing, but they're so powerful.
Yeah.
And the women.
You wouldn't see a tennis player walk down the street and think next to a rugby player and be like, athletes or whatever.
But there's a huge amount of discipline that goes into all of it. I hate that I'm being earnest. Like I want to be like,
Can we ask you then, with that in mind, shall we move on to your, have you an embarrassing story for
a
us?
A new one.
I feel like I'm in a state, like a constant state of like being mortified, constant state of mortification. There must be loads of embarrassing things. I guess when everything you do is a bit of an embarrassment, it's kind of hard to like define.
This is old Jacob one. Again.
You're the only person that would describe
No, it's fine. There's some things that like that you just have to embrace about yourself and be like, oh, it's fine, isn't it? It's funny. I'm clumsy.
Yeah, you can be self-deprecating and enjoy it sometimes.
Yeah, own it.
Yeah.
I've got a fun story.
Okay.
It doesn't really relate to anything we've talked about, though.
I want to hear it now.
I was just thinking, what was there anything weird that happened on set? And there was this one day where like in the show, you guys have watched the first episode, right? So you haven't seen...
Yeah, we've only seen the first episode.
Limited knowledge.
Right, so there's like a bit where I have to pour milk over my, like all over myself. Because like Louis goes into the sun and it burns him.
Right.
So he like, and there's like a milk carton there. So he grabs the milk and just starts pouring it all over himself. And it was a really, really hot day in New Orleans. It gets like very swampy, very, very close heat. And I was like, okay, cool, we're going to, this. And I was like, what's the milk going to be made out of? And then like one of the prop guys walked past with a kettle full of milk. And I was like, oh, what's that? Is that like some kind of glue or something? He's like, no, it's milk. And then he like walked out and I was like, why are you boiling it? And he was like, just because we thought it would be cold. And I was like, yeah, but it's milk. Like it's okay if it's
boiled milk.
The temperature's not really the problem. It's very hot outside as well. Like
it's still milk.
Yeah, I've never heard of like boiled milk. That's disgusting.
Oh, it's an actual like, electric kettle full of milk.
He was carrying an electric kettle.
You've never had a boiled milk,
with like freshly boiled milk.
You can get them. Get them all around London.
Boiled milk.
Go get yourself a boil. It's great for your skin.
I just assumed it would be like, I don't know,
refreshingly
like
cold
water with paint in it or something. Like I didn't think I was actually going to be pouring milk on my head. So that was. Did a few takes, just pouring this like disgusting milk over myself. Just getting up in my nostrils, and like I could smell like whole milk in my nose for about a week afterwards. And start talking to the prop guy, and we're like chatting. He was like, "How is it?" And I was like, "It's disgusting, but it's fine. Like it's kind of fun. How often are you gonna get to do this?" And I was like, "So I'm guessing that like oat milk and almond milk didn't look good on camera. Like it didn't look like real milk." And there was a pause, and he just went, "Oh yeah." So I could have
literally your job.
And the way that I tie that into exercise is that I stayed eating very well in New Orleans.
And oat milk is a great replacement for normal milk if you're lactose intolerant.
Well, no, I was thinking about what I was putting in my body more consciously, but like not restrictively, and not enough about what was going on my body.
And up your nose.
So there you go.
Yeah, well, there you go.
All up in my nose.
All up in,
oh, good.
All right. In milky old nose.
The moral of the story is I'm sorry. Grudgingly, I'm sorry. I still find it hard to motivate myself, but exercise has changed my life a little bit.
Yes. And that's all that's we all could we ever ask for. That's...
But actually quite a lot. So thank you.
But yeah.
You're very welcome.
You're welcome.
But also, fuck you.
We're thrilled to have played a role in that.
Okay.
Congrats. And now...
You're
not sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, on that note, thank you so much for coming back on.
You're welcome.
And it's amazing to see the change in your approach to fitness and well-being.
Thank you.
Only upwards from here.
So earnest. Thanks, Jacob.
Thank
well
you.
Done. See you soon.
It wasn't very fun, though, was it?
Yeah, it was. It was very fun.
I enjoyed
it.
It
was very fun.
I had a great time.
There's moments of where you're being serious, but most of it is just
that was
still
probably
you.
The most fun hour of my life.
Are we joking? It's fine. This was the fun bit.
You hate exercise, though, don't you?
No, I actually
that was acting.